All right, everybody. It's the Melrose Place podcast where we rewatch, recap, and analyze every single episode of the hit 90s TV series Melrose Place.
I'm Jenny Hill.
And I'm Dan.
Let's get rocking and rolling.
Guys, we did it. Season finale. We watched it. Episode 32, Suspicious Minds, air date May 26th, 1993. This is the day after I turned 11.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I was 11 when this came out. We did 32 episodes. Well, we've done 31. This is 32.
32.
We watched every episode of season one, just like we said we would.
Can't believe we did it.
We did it. It's done.
So how does this ep start out?
Well, it starts off a very slow, like, methodical camera pan through the entire set of Melrose Place, and it ends on Billy hugging a pillow in his bedroom like a little bitch.
That is correct. I have thought that we were going to go to Billy's room and see he and Allison in an embrace in bed.
Nope.
But was surprised to find him clutching to his pillow. And he gets up, goes across the hall, knocks on Allison's door, and asks to talk to her.
And he's like, Allison, we need to talk.
In true Billy fashion, I haven't slept all night. I mean, Amanda's pregnant and our relationship. I just feel like we really need to try. We need to make this happen. And of course, Allison is not having this. She's very upset that Billy is as supportive of Amanda through this pregnancy as he is. And he's basically like, look, I'm trying to do the right thing. It's a pretty big obligation. And then Allison says, yeah, if you choose to handle it that way. And I wonder, what is Allison's, how would she rather him deal with this?
She wants him to be like, you're on your own. You're on your own, Amanda. Here's your baby. Because she knows she doesn't really want it. It's a revenge baby.
Yeah,
it's definitely a revenge baby.
If this baby does come into the world, it's not the baby's fault.
Yeah, it is.
Don't you think? No, it's not.
It's absolutely its
fault.
I
guess I'm giving Allison too much credit to be like, dude, it's so much bigger than you now.
She's just sick of Amanda getting everything that she wants, and she finally had what she wanted, but Amanda has found a way to take it. So she can't see past that in the big picture of, well, they could still have a baby and you could be together, but Amanda's just always going to be a part of your life.
Yeah.
I don't know. But then Amanda, she throws some shade at Billy.
You mean Allison.
Damn it.
Drink!
Sons of bitches. No,
so Billy says, I really care about you, Allison. And Allison says, no, this is someone who cares about me.
Yeah, and she shows him like a brick of freaking letters from Keith that are in a rubber band.
Keith has written me every week since I left. Now he's the one that really cares about me.
Yeah. He really cares about you.
Okay. So we head on over to Jane and Mike and Michael's apartment. And Michael's on the phone with Mr. K. Jane comes into the kitchen and Michael's trying to pretend like it's just like old times.
Yeah, Jane comes in looking like a pirate. What
is
that outfit?
She's getting really crazy with these blousy, insane, like puffy sleeves.
She looks like a pianist from like Mozart times. I just wanted to sing, like, play me a freaking concerto.
It's getting really out of hand. I mean, the puffiness of the sleeves are like...
Yeah, how do you do anything in that
outfit?
Something
to behold. I don't know.
It's weird. But she's like, who was that? He's like, oh, it's Mr. K. You'll never believe it. He's selling the building.
Right, so selling Melrose Place. And Jane isn't too happy to hear about this, and... Michael sees it as a new beginning. We should move out. We can forget all of this. We can leave it all behind and start fresh.
And Jane's more on the mindset of like, even doesn't matter where we go, you still cheated and this is still shitty.
Right. And she then promptly reminds him that they have a marriage counseling appointment that evening.
He's going to miss that one, Jane. Real sorry.
So we head on over to D&D, and Allison is checking her messages. And Brett Nelson, the creative executive of D&D, comes up to her and says that she left the original paper in the feeder, which I'm thinking is a fax machine.
Yeah. Well, doesn't Brett... So Brett, now, he's played by Stephen Flynn. He's known... Well, he's not known for anything. He's like... He's been in like one episode of like a billion shows, but the coolest shows were recent are Better Call Saul and Justified. But he kind of looks like regular sized Peter Dinklage. Doesn't he? He has like a gnomey vibe.
You know, I told you, I was like, dude, I hate this guy's face so bad. But I think Peter Dinklage is like way more attractive than this guy.
Well, they both have like large heads and sort of concaved. Like they look like animals. You know? They have like an animal quality.
What kind of an animal?
Like I could see them in the woods like eating flesh. Like that. Oh shit. They look like animals.
Okay. So, Brett Nelson gives Allison the page that she left in the fax feeder, but it's pretty evident that he wants to talk to her a little bit more about this page, a little bit more than this page.
Yeah, he's smitten. He's like taken back by her.
Right.
He's trying to hit it.
Yeah, it seems like he has a crush on her. So, Allison goes back to her cubicle, and Amanda asks if she has a second and wants to ask her for a favor.
The fucking nerve of Amanda. She's like, Allison, can we talk? And she wants to talk to her. She's like, hey, listen, I didn't ask for this baby, and this is going to be really, really tough. So what I could really use is a friend. And this is such shit. It's such bullshit because episode after episode after episode of Amanda saying like, look, let's get to work. This is business. You are my...
subordinate.
Yeah, you're my employee. I'm above you. And then she's like, but let's be pals, okay?
It's so weird. The whole dichotomy of their relationship is like always trying to get one up on each other, especially with Billy.
Right.
And so, Allison.
Got a drink, guys. But Amanda wants to be friends. Allison, of course, is like, sure.
Reluctantly agrees. Yeah.
Let's be friends. Cool. Let's get to work.
And Lucy calls them both into her office because she has some big news.
She's leaving D&D. We all knew it.
So, she's getting out of there. Her husband... has a company and she's going to run operations for him in Honolulu of all places.
And the difference in reactions between Amanda and Allison here really shows what kind of people they are. Because Allison is like, wow, I'm so happy for you. That'll be such a fun time. And then Amanda's like, ears are perched and she's like, so who's going to be taking your job? Because I'll take it.
And Lucy does acknowledge that. And she's like, well, I can already tell that Amanda sees that this is a big opportunity for her.
Yeah, there's fucking blood in the water. And she's like, I want a raise.
So Lucy confides in both of them that her leaving D&D could mean that they both could move up, with Amanda taking over her position as the VP. I guess she's vice president of D&D.
Yeah.
And then that would mean that Allison would assume Amanda's role. But she says, we are looking to hire from within, and it's between you, Amanda, and Brett Nelson.
So if you guys want to move up, you need to stay working together.
So that takes us to the hospital, where Michael is walking in and Kimberly joins him. And she asks, do you mean it when you said that you missed me the other day?
Yeah. Side chick wants to rekindle a little bit of that action.
So Michael's like, look, it's complicated. And she's like, look, Michael, I know it's complicated. You don't have to treat me like an idiot. I don't want to lose the best friend that I have here at the hospital.
Aww.
It's all about, like, how that's can we sweet. Be friends?
Yeah, if I can't have you, let's be buds. I don't buy it.
Well,
I don't buy it one
let's
bit.
Let's see how this unwraps through the rest of the episode. So that takes us then to Joe and Jane, and they're hanging out at a playground together.
Yeah, that's not creepy, is it?
Kind of weird.
Weird. Neither of them have kids, and they're just sort of strolling around through, like, the shot is through a playground.
Yeah, not around it. They're, like, in it.
They're, like, hanging out
they're,
at
like,
it.
They're, like, in the swings. And Jane's opening up to Joe.
And Jane and Joe never hang out.
Yeah, I was thinking about that, too.
They never hang out.
It's usually Allison Joe's hanging Joe. Out with Allison, yeah.
Yeah.
But maybe Joe's trying to expand her friendships.
Maybe.
So Jane is confiding in Joe that she doesn't know if she and Michael are going to make it, and she doesn't know how they can survive. And how can you be in a marriage with someone who you don't trust?
And poor Joe has sort of resorted to, like, Matt status, where characters just dump their problems on them, and that's kind of it. Well, but, I mean, except for this episode, Joe does have a story, but for the most part, Joe's just receiving information and digesting it.
Right, and she reminds Jane that it wasn't Jane who failed, because Jane feels like she can't even tell her mom about what happened because she feels like such a failure with her marriage.
And Joe always tries to get a reaction, like a physical reaction out of people. Like when she talks to Amanda, when she talks to Allison, she like always tries to get her to like, kick a washing machine or just like act angry or like accept their anger. And in this scene, she's like, what do you want to do to him, Jane? And she's like, I want to kick his ass. And she's like, yeah, tell me more.
Joe brings out the dark side.
Yeah, she's the devil on the shoulder.
So we then go to D&D, where Amanda is on the phone with Billy making dinner plans. And I love how whenever Amanda's on the phone with Billy, she loves to say his name over and over again with an earshot of Allison to be like, oh, and Billy, I'll make the pizza. You bring the wine.
Yeah.
Okay, and Billy.
And why is he bringing wine? She's pregnant.
I don't know. That's a great question.
Yeah, she's like, okay, bring the wine. At the end.
I guess he's going to be chugging it. Or maybe,
maybe.
She's a little fast and loose. Hey, why not?
Yeah.
Glass of wine ain't going to kill anybody.
I guess so. Or is it?
Oh, foreshadowing.
So Brett approaches Allison and asks her if she wants to have some drinks after work. So they can kind of get to know each other in the event that Brett moves up and he wants to work closely.
Right. So they make some plans to meet after work that evening.
And then Keith is back.
Wow.
Dun, dun, dun.
This was quite a surprise. We open up into this big lobby of a hotel, and you see feet walking on the ground.
And it's Keith, And then he really opens up to this hotel concierge.
Yeah, to the front desk person when he's checking in. He really lets him know, like, why he's in town, yeah, what's going on.
The concierge is just like, what's up? Would you like a room? He's like, hello, I'm here for a few days. That's it. And I want to propose to my girlfriend. And she doesn't know I'm here. And the concierge is like, whoa, okay.
Well, our honeymoon suite is available, so yeah. Do you want it?
We got the honeymoon suite if you want it, but please don't tell me everything. And Keith's like, yeah, sure, I'll take the honeymoon suite. And then we go to Shooters.
And I kind of wonder, where is D&D in relation to Melrose Place?
Next, hop, skip, and a jump.
Really?
Just like everywhere.
Well, I guess so, because Shooters is like their local watering hole. So, of course, everything takes place there, and they always go to Shooters.
Right. And Allison and Brett are there, and Allison's drinking martinis again. Now, I thought in the last episode, she hated martinis.
She did say that.
And she, like, sucked on the olive and, like, was like, I don't like these.
Dan, I think we're going to see that Allison's taste for the drink is going to become a little bit more inflated.
Yeah, Allison is on the sauce.
So her and Brett are really knocking them back, and she is getting real loose with the information about Amanda.
Talking mad shit on Amanda, and they're just yucking it up like,
she's such a bitch. She's so mean. She's out for your head.
And then Allison, she's like, oh, by the way, promise me you won't say anything. She's pregnant. But and she's pregnant with the guy I was dating.
And not before she tells him all of the lore details about their entire story.
Yeah.
She just met this guy, and he might be her superior at work, and she's divulging this kind of information.
Well, she seems like a two-drink chump, so she's probably just loose lips, McGee. Like, you don't want to tell Amanda Allison stuff.
I guess you're right. So they start walking back to Melrose Place, and he's kind of laying it on thick. Wouldn't it be great to be Amanda's equal at work, or at least work with someone who truly respects you? And then Brett goes in for a kiss on the cheek, and Billy is watching from afar. Allison's at the door, and Billy's just walking into the courtyard of Melrose Place and sees this go down.
And he's real pissed.
He's jealous.
And it's like, dude, Billy, come on, man. You got no right. It's absolutely over between you guys. She said it was last time. She can do whatever the hell she wants. He comes in there like all father figure-y.
He's like, what was he doing kissing you? And she fires back with, oh, I thought you were having dinner with Amanda tonight. Well, what's going on with that?
Yeah, man, I don't like this double life Billy.
I know.
It's fucked up.
And that's the thing. It's like Billy can string these two women along, but forget about it if Allison wants to even entertain the idea of dating anybody else. That's out of the question.
Yeah, he just walks up like, hey, what's going on here?
Well, he can tell she's a little tipsy, and he's like, you're drunk, aren't you?
You're drunk.
And she just says, shocking, isn't it? As she turns on her heel and walks into her bedroom and slams the door.
And she's like, is there any ice cream? She's got the munchies.
I used to do that in college so bad.
Get drunk and eat ice cream?
Oh, get drunk and eat anything, everything. Yeah. People talk about getting high and eating. I wasn't so much of a smoker, but man, I would binge drink and be like, I'm going to eat everything in the world right now.
I mean, I get eating, but ice cream after, I don't know, it's weird.
Oh, no, I could have done it. So, we then go... Oh, God.
But Keith saw it.
We then go to the hotel room where Keith is staying. And, guys, this is a great little device that they use. We get a little listen into what Keith's thoughts are. This is him thinking. And he's thinking, why did you leave me, Allison? I was so good to you. We were so good together. Why, Allison? Why? Then he looks at his bedside table that he has put 5 to 6 different framed photographs of Allison. And let me tell you guys, these are really crazy photos. Like
8x10s.
And I don't know how long they dated or how he acquired these photos, but a lot of them were like at the Sears photography shop. That has like the weird like crushed fabric in the background. I mean, like, she got these professionally done somewhere. She got some glamour shots.
Well, they moved to Seattle together.
He has like 5 of them.
But dude, who travels light for the weekend with 3 8x10
well, Dan,
framed photos?
Here's the thing. It's a ritual, I think. I think this is what he does this every night in order to go to sleep.
And then he's like,
because he goes, good night, Allison. Sleep tight. And he takes the framed photos and he kisses them all. And then he goes to bed.
And he's wearing a wife beater and he's just sort of like, he's kind of sweaty. And he's just like all creepy-fied.
I think that this is like what he needs to go to sleep every night. That's why he brought them.
The Keith we used to know is no more.
He's gone.
He is a shell of himself. But yeah, the traveling with all those photos. And I like how like Keith's music is now the troubled relationship music. But with, like, a creepy guitar.
Like, almost like Nightmare on Elm Street. Like,
meow! Yeah, and, like, they just overlaid some, like, some synthesized drums that's, like, and then the soft, like, electric guitar sneering.
And like, I think meow. I heard some, like, chimes, like,
I dig the ding. Oh, but it has that piano that's like ding 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 ding. It's great. I really like that music.
So guys, we head on over to Rhonda and Matt.
They live.
They're not dead.
They are very much alive, and we can tell they're alive because they're speed walking.
Oh yeah.
Wow.
They are really getting it done.
And they're just having this, like, ho-hum conversation, like, well, I don't know if he'll ever propose again because I gave him his ring back. Why should he fucking propose to you, Rhonda? Why? Why should he propose again to you?
Well,
You embarrassed him.
No, you're right.
You gave his ring back to him while you guys were picking out flowers.
Invitations.
Yeah, like, why would he ever... He probably has a phobia now of asking people. You know?
Well, like, Rhonda is ready. She wants to marry Terrence. She thinks it's time. And they're talking about this. And as they do, they come up on Melrose Place. And they see somebody nailing in a for sale sign in front of the building.
Yeah, and Rhonda's just like, hey, this building's not for sale. And like, the woman's like, yeah, it is.
How would they know?
Yeah, how would you know, Rhonda?
And then they're like, well, they need to tell us at least 30 days in advance. And he's like, and the person, I guess the real estate agent is like, this is going into foreclosure. They have to sell.
They could have done a lot more with this storyline. Like, Terrence could have bought the building. You know?
Well,
he's got money.
We'll see what happens to the building at the end of the episode.
But yeah, it's hard that this is Rhonda's last episode. She gets nothing.
So Rhonda and Matt go over to Billy and Allison's place. And this is just before Allison wakes up. Remind me never to drink again. And Billy's like, look, I was kind of jealous of you and that Brett guy. And she was like, good. I was hoping that you'd be.
Yeah, stupid.
And then Rhonda and Matt show up to drop the news that the property is going into foreclosure and they're selling the building. And Allison is pretty much like, well, that's kind of sums up my luck. Bye, I'm going to work.
And Matt and Ron are like, what's up with her? And Billy, of course, is like, don't worry, I'll go chase after her. It'll be okay. So he chases after her while she's on her way to work. And like they share a moment, and he like gives her this big hug. But watching that big hug from a car covertly is Keith.
And Keith, his face just turns to rage as he watches this happen.
And to think, like, this guy used to work with sea creatures.
What was he doing to those poor manatees?
Yeah, he's on some other shit right now. He's on another level.
So we're back at D&D, and there is a meeting going on with Lucy, and Brett and Allison are sitting next to each other because now they're like buddies. And even Brett has on standby for Allison 2 Tylenol when she's like, oh, I'm totally hungover. Oh, I'm sorry, aspirin.
It's aspirins.
Aspirins.
And is that, like, that is not good etiquette for a work environment to just lean over to your possibly new boss and say, I am so hungover.
Well, it's because they both went out last night together.
Yeah, but you don't say that at a meeting.
Well,
and then he's just
she
like,
does.
Then like,
and he's got him on deck.
Yeah, he just passes her pills. And in I a was meeting.
Like, I was hoping
what the
that
fuck?
I was hoping that they weren't aspirin and they were something a little harder.
Yeah, like she did some ecstasy. Brett, what did you give me?
Well, Lucy tells everybody about her intent to leave and says, well, before I go, none of you should be taking any vacation time. And that is when Brett blurts out,
oh, excuse me, what about Amanda's maternity leave? And Amanda's like, what the fuck?
And how she plays it really shit? Cool. And she's like, oh, that's news to me, Brett. What are you talking about?
Yeah, she's just like, she's like the Terminator. She just sort of like receives like damaging information and it just doesn't faze her at all. And she's just like, dun, 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 dun. I can beat this. And so she's basically like, what are you talking about, bro? This is news to me. I'm not pregnant. And it just totally backfires and no one thinks anything of it. But Allison gives Amanda... gives Allison the stink eye. So she knows that this information came from Allison.
Right, and after the meeting adjourns, she's like, Allison, I need to talk to you. And she's like, what are you trying to do to me? Don't you realize if I get a promotion, you get a promotion? And now they're not going to give a pregnant woman a promotion. Thanks a lot. You may have totally ruined this for both of us.
Yeah, she's like, you fucked us, man. Then she's like, I'm sorry, I guess. So she goes to confront Brett. And she bursts into Brett's office. She's like, Brett, I can't believe you told her what I said. And Brett's like, baby, chill. Come on, let's hook up right now.
Yeah.
And he like lunges for her to grab her. And she's like, oh my God, get away from me.
Keep away from me. Keep away from me. And she barges out of his office.
Who says keep away from me now?
Allison Parker.
Keep away.
So Amanda and Billy. Oh, wait, hold on.
Yeah, yeah. Amanda goes to meet Billy in a park. And there's all these little children running around. And Amanda has like her like rock hard nipples at the park in the shirt, which is
she's
like
getting
what?
Her milk in, okay?
I guess. And then like she's sitting down with Billy and she's like, gosh, you know, I never noticed children before, but now that I'm gonna have one, it's all I see.
And then Billy is like, for real, Amanda, why do you wanna have this kid?
She has this horrible line. Of why she wants to have this baby. She basically says, I never wanted to have kids because I'm a professional. But now that I am pregnant, I see that this is probably my only opportunity to have a kid because I am such a professional that I might as well just go through with it. That was her reasoning. She said, there'll never be another opportunity.
She said, because I'm so ambitious, I would probably put this on the back burner and never go after it. And then when I get too old, I don't want to look back and think, oh, I had an opportunity and I gave it up.
Right. But this is the same logic as like buying two boxes of cereal because they're on sale. It's like, yeah, I don't really need a second box, but it's on sale right now, so I might as well do it. Otherwise, meh, fuck it.
Okay. So back in D&D, Allison goes to Amanda and asks if she can talk to her. She apologizes and says that you were right about everything. Brett is a total scumball, and I don't want to work with him. He sucks. I am totally honest. I want to be with you 100%. I'm totally pulling for you, and I think we need to be a team again.
She swears allegiance to Amanda, and Amanda's like, all right, it's going to be hard, but I'm glad you're back on the team. Want to get to work? And Allison's like, oh yeah, let's do it.
And they march back to their desks.
Right. They basically, like, I don't know, they pinky swear on it. We cut over to Jake and Joe. Finally, they're in the storyline. Jake and Joe are talking. They're talking about the move, not the move, but the fact that Mr. K is selling the building. And they're like, maybe this is a good thing. Maybe it's not. Maybe we could save some money if you moved in. And Joe immediately is like, what? Do you want me to move in? And Jake's like, well, I mean, why not? We'd save money.
So it's late at night. All the lights are off at D&D. The only lights that are shining are the two desk lamps at Amanda and Allison's desks.
And they were going for the feeling of like, it's midnight. Like, every single light is off in this office except their lights.
And they are serious. They want to work together. They want to win those promotions any means necessary.
And I don't understand how working this late helps them get there. Like, what is the goal? Like, what are they looking? What is the upper management looking at that that decides that they would get it?
I don't know. Maybe staying this late can give them the edge over Brett Nelson.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it. I don't know what kind of hard work they're doing.
Or is it a device for this? Because all of a sudden, Amanda starts having a pain in the side of her abdomen.
Mm-hmm.
Allison rushes to her side. What's wrong, Amanda? I don't know. Oh, it hurts so bad. Oh, I don't know.
And she says, what's wrong? And then it would have cut to a commercial.
And of course, she calls the ambulance and they're whisked away to the hospital. The same hospital where Dr. Michael Mancini is working.
Yep. Now we cut over. Billy goes to see Amanda.
In the hospital. And Allison meets Billy in the lobby. And she explains to him that Amanda was having pain. And she called the ambulance. And it's revealed that Amanda had a tubal pregnancy. And she tells Billy the baby never had a chance. It could never have been a baby. And they had to remove it surgically.
And Billy has zero reaction to any of this. He's like stone cold, just like nothing face.
He's just like, I think I need to see her. And Allison starts walking with him to the hospital room. And then he just turns to her and says, I think I need to see her alone.
Yeah. But it's weird because like you could have told Billy, like, Billy, Amanda had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And it would be the same face.
We wouldn't know.
We just wouldn't even know. So he goes in to see Amanda, and he gives his, like, soft, like, pouty, comforting voice that he always does. And he's like, Amanda, I'm so sorry you're going through this. And she's like, crying. And she's like, oh, well, you never wanted a baby anyway. and blah, blah, blah. And Billy's like, look, you gave me a lot of chances to go away. And I'm not going to duck out now.
And I just don't know what is his intentions? Why does he want to string both of them along?
All we can think is that Billy is just an idiot. Because here's the way out. Like, I know you're a nice guy, Billy, but there's no more baby. You come across as if you didn't really like it, but you wanted it, but you're obligated. You, like, he didn't do anything for the baby. He wasn't pumped. He didn't call his parents. There's no scene of him, like, calling his parents. There's no scene of him, like, excited. He didn't buy, like, a teddy bear.
Well, it's really early, too.
It's super early, yeah, but, like, he'd at least, like, be happy. The only person who knew about it was, like, Jake, basically. But, like, so Billy, you didn't want this kid, so now you don't have this kid. Now is your time to, like, this is your exit strategy, so you get back with Allison,
yeah, but
the girl you profess to love.
Yeah, I agree, and he's still kind of, like, laying those breadcrumbs for Amanda to make it seem like, well, even though the baby's not here, I'm still going to be around.
Yeah, and I'm not going to duck out now. Amanda, where's your dad? Why doesn't your dad come over and help you? Like, Billy doesn't need to be your primary caregiver.
So
he's not good at that.
I agree.
He's really bad.
I agree. So Allison pops her head in. Hey, I'm heading out. Billy, are you ready to leave? And he's like, no, I think I'm going to stay a little bit longer. And of course, you know, Allison is dismayed to hear this. And she's like, okay, well, I'll see you later. And Amanda's like, I'm so glad you're staying. And then Billy says, so am I.
Yeah, this is silly. This is silly writing. Maybe. I don't know.
So that brings us to Allison, who is at Joe's house. And Allison is regaling Joe of what had occurred and just saying, you know, I kept thinking, it's fixed. Billy and I can be together now. Like, this whole tragedy is happening. And all I can think about is, selfishly, is how it's affecting me while Amanda's in all this pain. And Joe just kind of, she's the sympathetic ear to all of the main characters throughout this entire episode.
Mm-hmm.
So she's, you know, oh, don't feel bad. That's not true. And then she mentions that she has a photo shoot on Skid Row the next day. And that's when Jake comes by and they kind of talk a little bit about it. And
Jake's like, hey, be careful. Where's my coffee?
Yeah. And so that's the end of that scene. So we're back at D&D and Lucy comes up to Allison and is like, hey, I got the call from Amanda. She's still in the hospital today, but you guys did such a good job keeping that secret of her being pregnant away from me, which I thought was a really weird thing to congratulate Allison on.
Good teamwork.
You really worked together by lying to me. Great job.
Weird.
What? And at this moment, Allison has a delivery. It comes over and she's so excited about this. She opens up the box and she finds that it is a bouquet of roses that have been spray painted black along with the words whore on the inside of the box.
I gotta do this to somebody. Like, for real?
Who would you do this to?
If you love, this has to happen to me. Like,
I can make that happen for you.
Melrose Pod fans, please send me spray painted black flowers.
Oh my, it was horror written on them. And of course, this is.
I will laugh every time you do it.
Oh my. You're thinking this will happen multiple times?
Yeah, just email me spray painted flowers black.
You're so weird.
And have it say whore on it.
So this is pretty embarrassing.
But, yeah, like they open it like it's such a fun little thing.
Oh, I got flowers.
And then like the music kicks in. It's like, and it's just whore. And then fucking What is her name?
Lucy.
Lucy, like, grabs the flowers and hands it to, like, some extra. She's like, here, get them out. Get them out of here. Get them out of here. like they just saw a dead body or some shit. And the extra, like, takes the flowers and, like, rushes them off. Like, Allison is just in deep distress.
And Allison, of course, says her, God, who can do this?
Why is my life so terrible? Where's the vodka? Joe is on her motorcycle.
Going through Skid Row. And I'm wondering, is this her idea? Or is she being commissioned to do this?
I think she was just planning out, like, her day. She's like, I'm gonna head down there. But, again, Joe, we've, over the episodes, we've come to find that Joe is not the best photographer. And this is sort of the Super Bowl of her terrible photography shoots.
So these, like, poor...
We had the beach bed thing.
That was pretty bad.
That was pretty bad.
And then the beach shots before with, like, the birds and stuff. Not good.
We had the shots with Jake on the beach. Yeah. And then we had the naked shoot with D&D.
Oh, yeah.
And now she's just putting her camera in the face of homeless people and snapping photos.
And not saying a word. She goes up to these poor people who are just, like, sitting up against chain link fences, and she gives them this little look and a nod, like, huh? Can I take a picture? And she just, like, gets up in their face and takes with their
point
photo.
Point blank range.
And they're like, what?
And then she snaps the pic and then gives them a wink and then is off.
And gone. Not even like, here's a dollar for your trouble, or can I get you a cheeseburger? Nope.
And these people, like, I think they're really homeless people.
I mean, they look it.
I think they were just running around like, hey, you want to be in this TV show?
Here's $10.
Here's 10 bucks. Save a buck or two. And so in between each shot, she's, like, riding on this motorcycle.
Like, totally.
So shoot a homeless guy, ride on the motorcycle. Shoot another homeless guy, ride on a motorcycle. And this continues.
Until... there are sirens behind her, and Joe's getting pulled over.
Yeah, thanks to Jake's shitty God, Jake's bikes.
He didn't
fix a tail light.
Didn't fix her tail light, so failure to signal, and she gets pulled over. The police comes over, and they ask her for her license and registration, which she promptly reaches into her purse. But in doing so, she pulls out a handgun that she brought for herself for safekeeping. And if you guys remember, she told Jake that she got rid of the handgun. But that was a lie, guys.
Yeah, she lied. And, oh, man, this is a big deal.
In trying to get her license and registration out, she inadvertently... brings the gun up a little bit out of her bag, and then the police officer sees this, and he goes berserk.
He's like, get down on the ground now! Give me the bag, blah, blah, blah. And, like, man, this is some current shit what we're going through.
Yeah. She's arrested on the spot.
Arrested on the spot, taken in, and the next scene, she's at the police station getting processed. She's getting her mug shots done, and, like, you hear her talking to the cop, and she's basically like, yeah, well, it's registered. I don't know what's wrong with you people. And the cop is trying to explain to her, look, it may be registered, but that shit was concealed in your purse. Like, you can't just do that. And she's like, yeah, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Lady's gotta protect herself. And the cop is like, cool, we'll see you in court.
And then Jake, I guess, had come down to bail her out or pick her up. And she's like, hey, thanks for coming. The first words out of his mouth are, how could you be so stupid?
Yeah, she's like, oh, hey, good to see you too.
Come on, Joe, you can't be serious.
And Jake's basically like, look, I don't want to live with somebody who has a gun. He's already said that before. He's sticking to his guns.
And, ooh, I like that. Drawing a line in the sand, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So Jane now returns home from work and she's kind of in a frenzy, and it seems that Michael had called her because of an emergency, and she rushes into the apartment. Michael, Michael, is everything okay?
I think he said there was a fire at Melrose Place.
I didn't catch that.
Yeah. And then she's like, where's the fire? And he's like, oh no, it's no fire. I'm just packing our bags. We're going to take a trip.
I'm going to take you out. I'm going to take you on an overnight trip.
She's basically like, but Michael, like, I don't like you.
And she was like, I was just at work. You called me because of this emergency. And he's like, well, I already talked to Kay Beacon about it. So it's a, have you noticed that, like, the major people in their lives are Kay? Kay Beacon and Mr. K.
Kay Beacon.
And then Kimberly starts with a K. So he's like, I have this great plan. I've already packed everything. Your favorite dress, your favorite jeans. I got everything ready. I'm going to whisk you away on this great night out, and we're going to have this romantic evening away.
And she's just like, can I gather some of my own things? Like, Jenny, what would you do if I was like, hey, I'm taking us to this thing, couple days, I packed your bag?
I'd be like, that's hilarious. I'm going to repack my bag because there's
You know all that would be in there is like some shorts.
There's no way you pack the things I need.
Yeah, I got you two pairs of shorts and a shirt.
And some tube socks. We're ready to go.
Let's hit it.
So she reluctantly agrees to go with him.
Now we cut to Billy taking care of Amanda after her surgery, and she's like, oh, well, thank you so much. She looks like an old lady here, and she's like, I need to at least make us lunch. And then she just kind of can't, like, she's doubled in over
so
in
much pain.
Yeah. And then Billy is doting, and he's like, well, come on, come sit on this couch. I'm gonna be making lunch. Let me take care of you. How many times have we seen Billy or Allison take care of somebody? It's the same shit. It's like, okay, lay on the couch. All right, lay on the couch. Matt, lay on the couch. When he got his ass kicked, like, everyone gets hurt, and then everyone tries to, like, do stuff, and it's like, lay on the couch. I got you.
So Amanda's like, oh, Billy, but what about your job? I mean, you can't be taking off work. And he said, I told them it was a family emergency. And almost between, like, closing her eyes and was drifting off to sleep, Amanda goes, family, I like that.
God, is this what girls are like? You're sending me mixed messages.
Yeah, honestly, it's getting really bad. So Allison comes back to her apartment and she gets a message saying that Billy is at Amanda's house. So,
but she doesn't even listen to the full message, just like, nope.
She hears Billy's voice, I'm at Amanda's. She promptly walks into the kitchen.
She's like, looks like it's fuck this shit o'clock. Let me get some vodka.
Pulls out a bottle of vodka, pours herself a glass straight up. Just straight vodka, guys.
Bangs it back.
Yep.
Taking them back.
She is not messing around. No. It is like straight, like 0 to 100. Allison we knew in previous episodes would be like, oh, I hardly can ever have a beer. And she's like, now she's like,
old sailor.
She is like knocking back double shots of just like straight up vodka, not even chilled.
The phone rings. She picks it up. She's like, hello. And all it is. So she hangs up. Then the phone rings again. And she hears some more breathing. And what does he say?
I'm watching you.
And she's like, look, asshole. I'm calling the police. You call here again and you're in big trouble. And then she unplugs the phone.
And she's thinking that this is Brett the whole time.
Right.
She's thinking that Brett is the one who sent her the flowers, that he's harassing her because of how she basically rejected him.
But here's the problem. How will she know if he calls back if she unplugs her phone? So he could never be in big trouble.
I guess you're right. So that leads us to Jane and Michael at their romantic hotel getaway. And Jane is wearing her favorite dress.
Jane looks like a fucking altar boy.
What? I thought she looked like an 1800s nightgown. Like, she was in a nightgown from the 1800s ready to go to sleep.
No, Jenny. She's in altar boy robes. She looks like she's at church. She has the boy cut. She looks just like an altar boy.
And, I mean, talk about puffy sleeves. This has reached a new...
Yeah, pirate's life.
She's Pirates of Penzance.
Yeah, so Michael's laying it on thick. He's like, Jane, I have missed you. You are the one. I want to get back. I want to be there with you. Come with me. And she's like, yup, let's do it.
So he's like, Jane, do you believe in me? And she says, yes, I do believe in you. And then they just start going at it. Just vintage old Jane and Michael that we used to know and love. They don't even like, they don't even try to get to a bed. They just get on the floor and they're just ripping each other's clothes off. And
she's going for the belt. I like in this show how like, they're going for, like, the belts.
Yeah.
And they're, like, unbuckling pants and stuff. I feel like back then, and even now, like, when there's a sex scene, there's not a lot of, like, unbuckling. You know?
They're really getting the belts off.
Yeah, here. It's always the guy, like, I don't know, like, opening the shirt and then it'll cut away. Or, like, they're already clothes off and they, like, lay on a bed. I like this whole, like, rummaging. Like, it's more real. It's realistic for me. You know? All the girls are, like, ripping off belts. I don't know. Sexy.
And Jane.
Something hot about that.
Jane, in between kisses, is like, God, I miss you. And we're to believe that they've made up.
Yeah. They're 100% back. So, now, Allison... It's the next day. It's night. It's evening.
Night.
She's back in Old Faithful. Of course, it's the finale, you know? The blue robe had to make it on.
Had to make the cut.
The blue robe should be in the credits. Between Allison's call and someone else, like, it should, like, the blue robe should get a spin and have it say, Old Faithful.
And Billy has left Amanda's place and he's coming home. He tries to get in, but Allison has a chain lock because she was so afraid of this psycho calling.
And Billy's like, what's going on? Why do you have the chain lock? And she's like, Billy, you're not here for me. I feel so alone and go to hell.
And she says, why I ever left Keith is just a mystery to me. I don't know why I decided to leave someone who really loved me for you, who your emotions are all over the place. You don't know who you're going to commit to. And then she rebuffs any advances from Billy, and she gets up and leaves. And then we see that Keith is peering through the window, seeing and hearing all of this.
He's fucking watching, guys.
He is psycho stalker.
How could they not see him
legit
right there?
Yeah.
This is creepy as shit. So now Rhonda and Matt are talking about how T-Money still hasn't proposed. Guys, he's not going to propose for a second time. Rhonda, you fucked him over.
So this is when Rhonda brings up the idea that she should ask him to marry her. And then Matt's like, does he like Chinese? And she's like, yeah, why? I think I have an idea. And then we cut to the next scene. So that's about all we're going to see of Matt in this episode.
Yeah, that's it. Now we're at D&D. And it would appear as if Amanda got the job. She got Lucy's job. So she got promoted and she's taking Allison with her. And Allison is like groveling at Amanda, like, great job, Amanda. I'm so happy for you.
And Amanda says, and as for Billy, Allison, whatever happens, happens. We leave it at the door. So they agree to admit, like, bygones be bygones. They're going to be professional. And that's it.
Then a letter, some mail comes for Allison. She is excited. She takes the envelope, opens it up. It's a lovely card on the front.
I think it says, like, to my love. Or, and, like, for you, my love.
And then she opens it, and everything on the inside of the card is scratched away. But there's a word in there on the left page that says, bitch.
Huge black letters that just say, bitch. So she cannot take this anymore. She's convinced that all of these horrible phone calls and deliveries are coming from Brett.
So she is going straight to the source. She bursts into Brett's office where he's having like an all-guys meeting. An all-guys of the office meeting. And they all look like mutants. Just like Brett. And she's
they
like...
They could all be in the onesie.
Yeah. Yeah, they could all be animals. So she's like, hey, Brett. Got this letter or this card and I'm sick of it. Like, you need to stop. And he's like, Allison, what the fuck are you talking about? You have interrupted my all men's meeting and we'd like to get back to talking about hunting in the woods. And she is like, are you serious? You didn't send me the spray-painted flowers?
And Brett's like, you must have double-crossed somebody else. And I'm like, how did she double-cross you?
She swore allegiance to Amanda.
Okay, well, I don't know. I think that that's kind of insane. So she leaves his office, and then we are back with Kimberly and Michael at the hospital.
Right.
And Michael has a question for Kimberly. He says, how do you feel like sleeping with a married man who plans to stay that way?
And she's like, well, I don't want that.
And then Michael's like, Kimberly, we have a passion that I never had with Jane or anyone else, and I just can't leave it alone. What are you doing tonight?
He says, I can't quit you. And she says, what am I doing tonight? Well, that depends on you, doctor. And then they start making out.
Yep. Like,
what the fuck?
Back on, guys. Michael,
you dirty dog. So Michael can't leave Kimberly alone. We cut to a very strange scene.
I know.
This is very strange because it defies all... All laws of hearing. All right, Amanda and Allison's desks are right next to each other. They've literally heard every conversation.
Every conversation
the other one has heard has
they
had.
They're talking on the phone, and it's like the other one can hear everything, and they do it for the benefit of the other person to be like, hi, Billy. Oh, we're going out to dinner. And the other person automatically knows that they're going out to dinner.
Right. So Amanda calls Billy. She's like, hey, Billy, got the promotion. Billy's like, oh, my God, that's fucking great. And Amanda's like, hey, let's have dinner tonight to celebrate. And
at that very moment, Billy gets, oh, and they both start the call with, hi, Billy, it's me. So he knows their voices. Okay, first it's Amanda. Then a call comes through. He takes it. Hi, Billy, it's me. And this time it's Allison. And she tells him, hey, you know, some really weird things are happening at work. And I've been getting these threatening phone calls and these like letters and stuff. And I really need to talk to you about it. It's really important. And he's like, okay, we'll meet at Tudor's at 7:00. Then he clicks back over to Amanda and tells her that his work asked him to stay late and that he can't make the celebration dinner and that they're going to do it next week.
And how Allison did not hear Amanda just talking to the same person, I do not know. Like, this is a sketch out of a sketch comedy, like 101. It's a game of telephone. So
Amanda suggests, hey, Allison, why don't you take the rest of the day off? I know it's been really stressful. You're getting all of these, like, hate-threatening letters and stuff. And then Allison says, "Oh no, that's okay. I'm actually going to meet Billy tonight after work to just kind of clear the air and like let him know what's going on."
Boom. So Amanda right then and there immediately knows that
Billy lied. He doesn't have to stay after work. He preferred and wanted to hang out with Allison over Amanda.
So she's hurt. Now we jump to Chinese restaurant with my main man, T-Money, and Rhonda. And they're eating. I guess they're at dessert. So these fortune cookies come out. And Rhonda's like, "Hey, Terrence, why don't you eat this one?" And Terrence, like, he's like, okay, whatever. And he cracks one open and it says, like, I don't know, "You will have a lot of money." And he's like, eat this one. And he's like, okay, this is very weird. So he opens the second one and it says some other dumb shit. And she's like, "Man, that idea didn't work."
So she's basically
"This is the
like,
worst.
I had a whole plan all ready to go, and this place can't get anything right." And he's like, "What I'm trying to say, Terrence, is will you marry me?"
And he's like, "Of course." And then they kiss each other's hands.
No, he goes, "I never thought you'd ask.
I never thought you'd ask." Yeah,
that was very Forrest Gump.
Now he's gonna dump her when they're picking out flowers. It's only fair. It's only fair, right? So they're getting married, and guys, this is the last scene of
Rhonda. I mean, that's what we've heard, that she's not in season two.
She's not. Very, very poor.
I wanted goodbye. A Melrose Place wedding so bad.
Didn't
I
happen.
Wanted it so bad, and I held out hope all the way to the end of this episode that maybe they would do it, but...
No, you know T-Money is not getting married at no pool complex.
I don't know.
Okay? That shit ain't going down.
So, Allison and Billy are walking back from Shooters, and Billy says, "I'm going to get a resolution with Amanda, and then we're going to start again. We're going to be together again. I just need to smooth this over with her. But you're the only one I want. You're the only one I care about." And Allison is very happy to hear this. And she's like, "You know what I could go for?" And then Billy totally...
It's like, "What? A scary movie and some popcorn?"
And that's exactly what she wants. Yep, that's
exactly it. Exactly what she wants. Meanwhile, the creepy-ass Keith is watching this all play out. So Allison's like, "I'm going to go upstairs and get ready." And Billy's like, "Well, I'll go pick up the movie."
And then they kiss each other.
This boils Keith's blood.
He can't stand to see his precious Allison with Billy.
So he gets out of the car. He approaches Billy and he beats the living shit out of him.
So he sneaks up Billy from behind and starts attacking him. And in doing so, Billy literally does the move from Mortal Kombat. Like, right before they're like, "Finish him!" They're like swaying.
And they wobble around. And he's just like, And then Keith puts some... He, like, knocks his ass out. And he's just laying on the sidewalk, beaten. Now we go to the hospital, and every cast member plus Amanda is at the hospital for Billy. And I mean, it doesn't make sense. Like, some people can like sit this one out.
Nope.
Like, he just got beat up.
They're all there.
Everyone is there. So, and Amanda says the most selfish shit ever in the waiting room.
What did she say?
She was like, "We could have been celebrating my promotion."
Oh, I think she was meaning like, if he decided to come with me, we would have been dancing.
Yeah, she was like, "This would have never happened if he came and celebrated my promotion with me." That's some selfish fucking shit.
Well, she has a point.
Yeah, so selfish point.
Dr. Michael Mancini comes out because that's the doctor that's attending him. And reports that he has a concussion, a broken rib, and a few bumps and bruises, but nothing too serious, and he's gonna make it.
And that he's right now he's talking to the police, but he can see visitors, but he can only see them two at a time, so that it's extra awkward.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Amanda and Allison are like, well, we're going in first.
We're the first ones. But not before Jane goes up to the receptionist at the desk at the hospital and asks for Kimberly Shaw. Mm-hmm. So while that's going down, we go into Billy's hospital room, and Amanda and Allison go there, and they both surround his bedside, each taking a hand. Billy's holding their hands on either side.
The scene hurts.
It's really weird. It's
painful to watch two women who shouldn't want Billy
just fawning over him.
Yeah, I'm like, this, y'all gotta be acting.
And he just looks up at both of them and is like, it means a lot to have both of you here. And it's like, oh my God, Billy, stop.
Yeah, so Billy, fucking pick one already, will ya?
So now let's get to the meat and potatoes of this episode, okay? The good stuff. So Jane goes to the back where she's not supposed to be because I guess the receptionist didn't get Kimberly out to her quick enough. And she finds Kimberly, I guess like she's like in a powwow before going into surgery. And as she's heading off to surgery, she grabs Kimberly and is like, may I have a word with you? And Kimberly's like, actually, no, I'm going into surgery. I don't really have time to talk to you.
And Jane's like, bitch, I don't care. Get your ass over here.
And she says, you will listen to me. You see this, Kimberly? And she indicates to her wedding ring. And she says, like, this is a vow. This is a symbol of love and friendship and a higher commitment that you could never understand. And you need to stay away from my husband. And then Kimberly is just like, look, what do you want from me? Are you after an apology? And then Jane says, no, I'm not after an apology. I hope that you, if you are ever lucky enough to find a man of your own, that some pathetic bitch will come along and hurt you the same way that you've hurt me. And I mean, it was perfect the way that she delivered it. And she turns around, starts storming out.
Great moment for Jane.
Oh, really? I mean, this was my favorite part of the whole episode. And then Kimberly calls after her, and you think that she's just going to go and like apologize and try to smooth it over, but no.
She lashes out.
She follows Jane and is like, Jane, it's not over.
Yeah, and Jane turns around like, what,
like, bitch? You're lying. And she's like, oh no, I heard all about your little romantic evening in the hotel, and guess what? Your husband is not about to break it off with me. So, like, guess what? That's what's going on. If we're being honest, he still wants me. We're still going at it.
And Jane's like, well, if that's the case, then you can have him because we're getting a divorce.
A divorce. Mm-hmm. If you're talking about Jane. So Jane then leaves. And hopefully that's what we're going to see in upcoming episodes, that they're divorced, because really, Jane does not deserve this kind of awfulness.
Now we're back over to Billy's room. Allison and Amanda are excusing themselves. And so they walk out. And then Amanda conveniently forgets her purse in Billy's room.
Oh, I left my purse. Go ahead to the car, Amanda. Yeah, Allison, I'm just going to go back in and grab my bag.
So she goes back in to talk to Billy. And this is her shot at some alone time with him.
And she says, Billy, I just need to tell you that I really do love you. And I have a big surprise waiting for you that I'm going to tell you tomorrow. Can't wait for you to hear about the surprise. I'll let you get some rest, but I'm going to go.
And Billy's like a little child, like dangling like a piece of candy in front of him.
What,
like,
could it
why?
Be?
What's the surprise? What's the surprise? So now Jake and Joe are going to leave the hospital. Joe's about to hop on the back of the bike, and Jake's like, actually, not sure I'm ready to hang out with you.
Well,
anymore.
She says, what's it going to be, your place or mine? And he goes, I don't know. What is it going to be? And she's like, okay, I told you, Jake, I'm not ready to move in with you. I need to be by myself, and what we have going on is great, but this is just about the level of commitment I'm ready for now. Like, this is where I want to be. This is where I want to leave it. And he says, well, you know what? If they end up selling the building and then we go our separate ways, I think I'm ready to start seeing other people.
Yikes.
Which is pretty much an ultimatum. Either you move in with me and you commit to me, or we're done.
Yep.
So doesn't look too good for them.
Dude, we forgot an integral part.
What?
Keith showed up at the hospital.
Oh.
Yeah. So guys.
Sorry, guys.
We got to rewind this.
That was my rewind sound.
Is it also? Is it double as your cat purr sound?
I don't know.
So, Keith showed up at the hospital with flowers for Allison. But he's like, oh, he tries to play it like he didn't kick the shit out of Billy.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, it was so weird. I'm in town for business. I decide to stop by your place. And then I hear about Billy getting attacked.
But guess what? How did you hear about it when everybody's at the hospital?
Good question,
Dan. Put some shit together, guys.
So, of course, Allison is buying this the whole time. Like, oh, well, yeah, he is really concerned. And he's just here. This is a weird coincidence. Who knows why he's here? And he's really just here to lend a shoulder for us to cry on and make sure Billy's okay.
Not every day I receive bitch cards and whore flowers. Yeah.
So
Allison leaves the hospital with Keith.
Right.
And that prepares us for this scene that we fast forward to. You have a sound effect for fast forward as well? Okay. Keith leads Allison to the door. And
Allison is just profusely apologizing. I shouldn't have left things the way that I did. I'm so sorry, Keith. It was very immature of me. And of course, he's like, oh, no. I love how you left it. Everything's great. Oh, no, Allison, everything's perfect. No problem.
And he hit the bottle. She hit the bottle again.
Yeah, so they get into Allison's apartment and she's like, you want a drink? And she reaches into her cupboard and basically just like pours herself another double and just knocks it back. And he's like, you're drinking now, Allison? Yeah, what's the big deal? I've been drinking a little bit this week because it's been so stressful. So then Keith asks, do you think that this has anything to do with Billy? All of these bitch cards and whore flowers that you're getting? Because she tells him about this. And she's like, oh no, I think it's just a weird coincidence. And then Keith then holds her close to his chest and says, you're safe now. It'll be fine. And the camera just like close up on his face. It's like totally demented, crazy person.
And he's basically like, I'm in.
So it's the next day. And we can assume Keith goes home. No funny business after that.
Right.
Allison picks Billy up from the hospital and they're walking into Melrose Place. And to everybody's surprise, Amanda and her father are standing on the stairs of Melrose Place looking down. And Billy and Allison are both like, what are you guys doing here? And then Amanda's like, well, here's my big surprise. I bought the building. Actually, my dad bought the building, but I'm going to run it and I'm going to move in here. Isn't this great?
And she's like, it's a great investment.
I think I'm really going to love it here.
And Billy and Allison just look at each other like, oh, fuck.
Credits.
And that is the season finale.
2 hour long episode. I know this has gone really long.
Yeah. And wow, a full season done in the can.
Lots that happened in this episode. Oh my goodness.
So, as always, let's try to recap this mofo.
Joe gets arrested for a concealed weapon, and Jake is on the verge of calling it quits.
Amanda gets promoted, and Rhonda proposes to T-Money.
Amanda has a tubal pregnancy and has to have surgery to remove the fetus.
Michael makes it all better with Jane.
Allison is getting threatening calls and deliveries.
Billy gets his ass kicked by Keith.
Jane and Michael make up, but now Kimberly tells Jane the real story. And now Jane is getting a divorce.
Jake and Joe are on the ropes.
And Billy is still stringing Allison and Amanda along. And lastly, Amanda buys the building.
90s moments.
The fax machine, having the paper get stuck in the theater. I know the fax machine isn't completely phased out, but I think it's something that many, many businesses and people do not use any longer.
I've got a Billy's tie. That thing, he's in a tie for most of this episode, and it looks like the hide of a zebra. It is disgusting. It's horrid.
It's not good.
Not good at all.
I think just how loose that sexual harassment is in the workplace. I mean, the fact that Brett thought that he could really, like, go after Allison, and then Allison not doing anything, like, for retribution against him.
Yeah. I've got speed walking in general.
Yeah.
Just no one's really doing that anymore.
That was a big thing, yeah.
Who speed walks like that through the city?
The fact that if you were pregnant that you could kiss your promotion goodbye. I think in this day and age, people are just so protected from that, that employers couldn't even consider that. I think that you'd be more than likely to get a promotion because they wouldn't want to come off as being like discriminatory against pregnant people.
The stack of letters that Keith mailed to Allison, those would all be texts.
Or emails.
Or emails today.
The old school police car. I mean, this was 93. When did LA switch over to like the new police cars that we know and love? I mean, that was from like 1970.
Well, yeah. And it was probably a prop police car. Not a real one.
That too.
My last one is police stopping somebody, noticing a concealed gun and not shooting them.
That was very 90s. Well,
today you get shot in the back.
Well, I think that stuff was always happening, but now we have cell phone cameras, so we're actually getting them on tape. When before it was just happening and it was the cops' words against civilians and people would just take the cops at their words.
Mm-hmm.
And my last one is no caller ID. I mean, these calls that are coming into Allison's apartment, nowadays you would see the number coming up and you could be like, okay, I know who this is.
Or just star 69 their ass.
Yeah, well, another 90s thing.
All of these episodes have a lesson. You just got to dig deep. Jenny, what's yours?
Don't lead people on. Stop it. I mean, if Michael Mancini didn't lead on Kimberly, maybe Kimberly wouldn't have gone and told Jane that they were still in this relationship and broken up their marriage. If Billy didn't continue to lead Amanda on, they probably wouldn't be in this crazy situation with Keith and Allison. And then if Rhonda didn't lead poor Terrence on, I mean, he probably wouldn't have never proposed in the first place, and they wouldn't be in this predicament either.
Yep. Mine is, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Michael is a cheater. He's going to be a cheater. That's going to just keep happening. Amanda loves a good conquest. She is going to find a way to own stuff. So she bought the building. And Keith is obsessed with Allison, so he's gonna stay obsessed with Allison. And Billy can never make up his mind, so he's just gonna continue to never make up his mind. You can't teach these people how to do things differently.
Solid. It's a good one.
Now it's time for Bitch of the Week. last week, I'm a boss ass bitch. I voted for Amanda as the bitch. Jenny, you voted for Karen to be the bitch. With 75% of the vote, Jenny, you lose.
Aww, you tricked me.
Got you. Amanda's the bitch of the week. Now, this week, who you got?
God, there were so many contenders. You could have gone so many directions with this. But in my opinion, the bitchiest of them all was Mr. Brett Nelson. Yep, Brett Nelson, the guy that was up for the promotion next to Amanda. I think he's a bitch because he had this promotion in his sights from the beginning. I think he completely faked having any interest in Allison just to get closer to her so he could get dirt on Amanda. He takes her out for drinks, gets her drunk, in essence, just to continue to get her to say horrible things about Amanda. And when he gets what he wants, he then, the very next day, at a staff meeting in front of everybody, tells everyone about Amanda being pregnant after Allison explicitly the night before says, please don't say anything. He tells everybody in front of Allison. Then, when Allison confronts him about this and is like, that was really lousy, why would you do that? He then sexually harasses her. He tries to force himself on her. I don't know where he was getting these signals or signs or thought that like that was the right thing to do. She went in his office irate that he went against her wishes and told everybody about the pregnancy, and then that gives him license to try to hook up with Allison in his office? Ew. Yuck. And did you see his haircut? Ew. He is such a bitch. I hate his face. I hate him. I think he is the bitch of the week. Hands down, it's Brett Nelson.
Brett Nelson was a bitch. But here's the bigger bitch. Joe Reynolds.
What?
Here's why. Joe, man, you cannot see a good thing when it's right in front of you. Jake is a great guy. He cares about her so much. He loves her. He said he loves her. He doesn't play games with her. He only wants to take care of her. He went into business with her. He does his taxes with her. He's an open book. He's attractive, he's nice, he's strong, he protects her, and all that Joe has to do to please Jake and be with him and advance their awesome relationship is get rid of that fucking gun. It's a no-brainer, Joe. You're a fucking bitch right now. You're acting so bitchy right now. It's just a gun. Like, Jake gives you sexy time all the time. He ate whipped cream off of your feet. Ugh. He does it to you in the morning with that stank morning breath. Come on, get rid of the gun, Joe. It's just very bitchy of you to take that stance of like, well, I need protection. And then you know what else? You know what else? It's very bitchy to drive around Skid Row and invade homeless people's privacy for your fucking self-benefit. Like, what are you trying to build? A homeless portfolio? Like, get the fuck out of there. Stop taking pictures of poor homeless people, not compensating them. And then you pulled a gun on a police officer? What is the matter with you? You lying about a taillight and then she's like, yeah, it's my property, blah, blah, blah. You had a busted taillight. You nearly shot a cop. You are offending the poor homeless of Los Angeles. And you don't want to move in with your awesome boyfriend who's given you all the time, all the space in the world. Who turned down a threesome with Karen. You're a bitch.
Well, we'll leave it in your hands, guys. You tell us who was the bigger bitch. So So we know this episode is entitled Suspicious Minds. However, I think we can do better. Dan, what would you name this episode?
Well, this one, I'm renaming this one for our unsung character, who we've never seen or heard of the entire episode, the entire season. I'm renaming this one, So Long, Mr. K.
Aw, Mr. K.
He's done. Mr. K, like, I know so much about him, and he hasn't even been on the show. Like, he...
You don't toy with him.
You don't toy with him. He wants his rent. He is not into subletting. He's very particular about painting bathrooms black. Happy to work with you, though, but he needs that rent. Hates checks being bounced. And he has a personal relationship with his tenants. He cares about his tenants. I'm really sad to see Mr. K go. So I'm naming the finale, So Long, Mr. K.
Good one. I like it. I like it a lot. Well, my take on it, I would rename this episode Sister Wives. And I do so because, especially that scene where Billy is in the hospital and both Amanda and Allison are holding his hands, like looking down on him and like looking at each other knowingly. It had a very weird vibe of like, we're sharing this man. And the whole storyline, of course, with Kimberly and Jane and Michael. It's like they all have to share this guy and kind of be okay with it. So, Sister Wives, I think, was an appropriate title.
I like it.
Well, thanks.
All right. Season one is done in the books. Jenny, what are your predictions for the beginning of season two? Because we're going to season two. This ain't over.
Predictions. Oh, gosh. Well, as I said, I really, really wanted a Melrose Place wedding. But I think that Rhonda and Terrence are going to elope. That way it explains that we never see her again and that she moves away. And her and Terrence have a beautiful little life together. I think that Amanda is not going to stop until she has Billy. I don't think this whole storyline with Billy and Allison getting together is ever going to really completely come to fruition, because now that Amanda is going to be living in Melrose Place, they're not going to be able to escape her terror. I think Allison is going to become a big-time alcoholic. We're seeing that right now. It's really getting legs, and she's turning to the drink more often than not. And Keith is going to become a psycho stalker. I think that that storyline is going to progress. She might even get back with Keith only to realize his true intentions. And it could really result in some bad stuff down the road. I think Joe and Jake are just going to break up and they're going to start seeing other people. And then I think, of course, Michael and Jane are going to divorce.
Here's what I think. I think Keith is going to try to murder Allison.
No.
On episode, season two, episode one.
Already?
I think this goes straight into murder town. I think that Amanda is going to really sink her teeth into Melrose Place and own the shit out of Allison. Like, make her do stuff. Make her, like, clean. Make her, like, pay more rent. Like, she's really going to bunker down. And I think Jane and Michael are donezo. I think it is a wrap. There's no coming back from this one, guys. I think Matt's gonna get some more story. I think he'll get involved. I agree with you, Jenny. I think Jake and Joe have run their course. And I think, I know we're going to get some more Sydney. So Sydney needs a story. What's going to happen? I don't know. That's my predictions. What do you think about season one as a whole?
As a whole, I think it started out slow and it developed into a crazy, insane love triangle soap that we know and love. And I'm... I think it's really just going setting the tone now for season two. But I think it was a great way to open it up and let us introduce, like, get to know the characters. And we kind of started slow. We eased into the drama. But I think now we're there and we want more.
I agree. The season really didn't start getting good every episode until Joe arrived.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's any fault of Sandy. I think they just even without Amanda, the show had legs with Joe involved.
Yeah, and I remember today we were both like, you know, getting Joe on the show, I think, was like really changed the dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
It really gave like that hardness, that like sarcasm that I think. When you think of like Southern California, it's all sunny and whatever. And she really brings out like edginess that I think a New Yorker could bring. And I just really love Daphne Zuniga. I think she does a great job in the show. And
yeah, they needed her.
Yeah.
And I mean, the Rhonda storylines, unfortunately, they're just like, it was just too cookie cutter. It wasn't edgy enough. It's just not what we wanted for like a late night show, I feel. It just didn't work. And like the little things that Allison and Billy would get involved in, like just these little tiny lies, like that can't weigh, that can't hold a show together. And but Amanda gave this show a boost of energy that it just didn't have, and it became a good show.
It really did.
I'm excited for season two, man.
Me too.
But it's late, guys.
It is super really late.
It's super late. Guys, we're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Melrose Pod. Please connect with us there. Love talking to you all. Love sharing photos and little comments about the show. We're on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, and Stitcher. Please leave us a rate and review on Apple Podcasts, and we will read it on the show. We love getting those, and it really helps us increase our visibility. We're on Patreon, patreon.com/MelrosePod. If you feel like contributing, we absolutely appreciate it, and we thank you all so much for just listening each week. It has been a pleasure to do this, and I'm excited to keep going.
And thank you for sticking with us through the entirety of season one. Like Dan said, it's been an adventure. We've had so much fun doing this and learned a lot too. And we're very excited to start season two with all of you.
Season one, done.
In the can.
Bye, guys.
Bye.